Good morning, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Wide Men Can't Jump, the first of this 2023 year that's already off to a stunning start. We'll get to that in a second. Of course, I am, as always, your host, Tim, coming to you from the Great White North. A happy new year to everybody out there. And let's get started. Monday Night Football. Wow, what a scene. For most of us who aren't old enough, including myself, to remember the last incident of this type, and as it turns out, luckily, the only incident of its type, Bills safety, Damar Hamlin, makes a tackle, gets up, and immediately goes to the ground. And if all reports at this point, as we're only Tuesday morning and stuff, info is still coming in, apparently suffered a cardiac arrest on the field, was CPR'd back and taken to a hospital where, as of this point and the latest news I can find, he is in critical condition in a Cincinnati hospital. Now, despite a lot of people in Twitter and online being Twitter and online, where the conspiracy theorists and everything else have jumped out and come up with every crazy thing under the sun, all unsubstantiated, of course. And until we know, we don't know. And let's just leave it at that. Speculate all you like. So far, the guy is still alive, and that's really all that matters. Let's save the conspiracy theories for something else. Quite a scene, quite a thing to see on national television. I don't even know how to begin to describe it. It was bizarre. It was weird. It was surreal. It was all those things. And of course, I immediately, once the game was canceled, my brain being what it is, decided to, has this ever happened before? It has to have happened before, right? Football being the sport that it is, somebody has to have died on the field. Now, as bizarre a subject as that may be. So my quick research led me to the story of Chuck Hughes, who I will admit did not know. Didn't play for very long, played a couple years for the Eagles and one for the Detroit Lions. The story of Chuck Hughes. October 24th, 1971, Detroit Lions at Chicago Bears, or are hosting the Bears, sorry, in Tiger Stadium. Late fourth quarter, Detroit is trailing. Hughes has entered the game as an injury replacement, catches a pass for a first down. Three plays later, they throw him another pass. He drops it. Sorry, I got that wrong. Was dropped in the end zone. Hughes, who had been a decoy on the play, or started to go back to the huddle and fell to the turf, grasping his chest at the 20-yard line. Apparently, linebacker Dick Butkus saw him, got medical help. Ambulance is called to the field. He's carried off. And this is the part where I want to, what I want to get at. They continued to play this game in front of what is described as a stunned, silent crowd. They waited until after the game and then told the players that he, in fact, had passed away. It was revealed that he had a massive heart attack and had a whole bunch of things wrong with him that back then nobody either didn't know about or they didn't have the equipment or whatever happened. There was a lawsuit, blah, 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 blah. My point being, I thought the NFL was a little slow to cancel the game. Now, that being said, and we'll get into this in a second, a lot of logistics, a lot of other things that I know people don't want, that doesn't matter. And I guess in the moment, it doesn't matter. But the NFL is a business, and there was a lot of things that they had to figure out before they could just say, okay, this game is canceled. Now, as of this point, I haven't heard anything about rescheduling, playing the game another day, like what they're going to do. I mean, we're into the last week of the season. Playoffs games, tickets have been sold for wildcard week. And that game, it mattered for standings, and so do the ones that they'll have to play on Sunday. Now, I was talking to some other people, and it was like, okay, what are your choices? Can't play it today. If you were to say, let's reschedule it for Thursday night. But that means you're going to have two teams playing Thursday night and then having to turn around and play on Sunday with games that have playoff implications. And you know, we're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars. You can't have them play Monday if they have to play on Sunday. I don't know what the NFL is going to do. I'm sure there are people that get paid much more money than me, which isn't saying a lot, by the way, to figure these things out, looking at schedules, looking at building availabilities, looking at refunding tickets, reselling tickets, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know what they're going to do. I mean, I guess at the end of the day, the only thing that matters is this guy's health. But that being said, the world goes on. Now, of course, you know, I don't wish death on anybody. I want this guy to make a full recovery. I want them to figure it out, and I want him to move on with his life. But if this isn't football, and it doesn't happen on national television, very few people ever find out or care. That's a sad reality of the world, but you know, there are big businesses where people die every day, and those businesses have to continue, particularly if they're, you know, policemen, firemen, hospitals, teachers, all that real, real, super duper important stuff. Hell, getting your packages is a big deal for a lot of people. A lot of people get things, myself included, who I live in a place where some stuff is not readily available. And if my Amazon man in the post office don't bring me my stuff, I have no way to get it. So it's relatively important. Now, perhaps not a life and death matter, but still, you know, the world must continue in the same breath. So I wait to see what the NFL is going to do. I'm sure that there are a lot of people hard at work. There's probably a lot of soul searching and brain scratching going on to try to decide what is the best way to handle this. Now, they've already, I won't say goofed, but in my opinion, as soon as they knew that he had had a cardiac event, which had to have been relatively early on, you got to cancel that game. I don't think you have a choice. You certainly don't want, if something worse would have happened, and they're in the middle of a football game and that news breaks, which in this day and age it's going to, perhaps during the Chuck Hughes era and back in the early 70s, nobody was too worried about anything leaking out of the hospital, and there was no media there was no way to leak it, right? If the press sat on the story didn't get out. But now I don't doubt if Mr. Hamlin would have passed away, that would have been news. Somebody in the hospital would have known, and that would have been out on social media in 2 minutes. So to wrap it up on this rather somber topic, prayers and thoughts to Damar Hamlin, 24-year-old guy, got his whole life ahead of him. I hope full recovery for him. NFL, figure this out. I don't know how you figure it out, but I don't get paid to do that. Talk to the right people and get this done in a way that is fair and equitable for everyone. And fans, oh God, fans. If you don't have anything good to say, just be quiet on social media. We're not talking about a guy dropping a pass or a missed holding call or a missed field goal or those kinds of things. We're talking about a guy nearly, well, from all the reports, dying and then being brought back from CPR. This is no time for cheap shots, team allegiance, and all that stuff. If you don't have anything good to say, just be quiet. And we'll get back to the sports when the time comes. All right. New Year's Eve. College football playoff. Holy cow. What a set of games we had. I really don't think, short of whether your team won or lost, you couldn't ask for a better... Yeah, points galore. Not a lot of defense. If you like defense, you might have been a bit disappointed. But points everywhere. All the excitement, all the drama you could ask for. I don't know what more you want. TCU beats Michigan 51-45. Tiny bit of controversy in this one. And Georgia holds on to beat Ohio State 42-41. You know, 7 points total for both games. The Michigan TCU game, controversial touchdown called back or called short of the goal line, I guess, and then there was a fumble. I believe it was a touchdown, but don't matter what I believe, I wasn't on the field making the call. The second one was, of course, the targeting call. Now, I don't know if that gets Michigan any points or not, and whether, who knows, we'll never know. Problem with that one for me is I don't care how much time is left in the game. I don't care what team it is. I don't care what the score is. None of that should matter. If the reason for a targeting call is to protect players from getting hurt, not only the tackler, but the tacklee, then you got to call that stuff. And I thought the Michigan, that was a hit to the back of the back or back of the head or whatever you want to call it, and leading with the helmet. I thought that was targeting. Now, whether that gets Michigan a win or not, who knows? That really doesn't even matter. I mean, that's targeting if it happens in any other game at any other time, in my opinion. There was another one in the Georgia-Ohio State game that was called and then turned over, and I thought that one was targeting too, if we're going to bother with targeting. So this sets up the big Georgia-TCU final on Monday the 9th. I gotta say, I figured Georgia is the favorite. But boy, TCU, they can score them. But I still think that this game is going to come down to some defense. Somebody needs to stop somebody. The trade and blows things, while a great time to watch on television, not exactly a winning formula most times. You know, we're talking about two semifinal games at 96 points and 83 points. Too many. Somebody's got to figure it out. That being said, that's going to be one hell of a matchup on Monday for the national championship. Today, I believe, you got any games going today? Or is that it for bowl games? I think we're done. I think bowls are over after there being, 42 of them, in which I am unhappy to report I was a stunning 50%. Go figure, eh? 21-21. So if Georgia can pull off the win, that's going to put Tim above 500, ladies and gentlemen. And it would mean that his mortgage would not get paid again for another month if he was betting money. So to wrap it up, Georgia TCU in the final on Monday the 9th. It will be what it will be. I think if I have to put any money on it, I'd take Georgia, but that's just me. Over to the world of college football, or basketball. Sorry, I got bowl games on the brain. We're into week 8 or 9, I believe, of NCAA basketball. I don't really think there's been a whole lot of surprises so far this year. We got a few different teams up at the top, but as again, it's fairly early in the season. Purdue in at number one in yesterday's noon rankings, 13-0. The Cougars of Houston, number two. The Jayhawks, followed by the University of Connecticut Huskies. Arizona Wildcats. You know, we are kind of missing some of theirs. No Kentucky, no North Carolina, no Duke in the top 10. They're all, in fact, there's none of those teams are even in the top 25 except for Duke. And Duke's already got 3 losses this year, which for them is, that's a season and a half normally. NCAA basketball, always a flowing ebb and tide sort of thing, and considering the transfer portals and all that stuff, guys going all over the place in basketball too. West Virginia was ranked 24th, but fell out of the top 25 after, I assume, another stunning loss at the hands of somebody they shouldn't have lost to. So, yeah, college basketball kind of taking a back seat. That'll gear up after the national championship game on Monday, and then college basketball will be in the spotlight once again. So, what else is going on, folks? Take a quick interlude into the world of non-sports. Up in the Great White North, a little chilly this morning. Chilly for you guys down south. Not that bad for us, actually. What do we got here this morning? I believe it's -2 Fahrenheit, which I know sounds really, really cold to you guys. It's not. Anything above 0, we're more than happy to take in the dead of winter. The Christmas was, it was a Christmas. After 55 of them, that's just sad to say, but it's starting to lose its shine a tiny bit. No little people around, and that's what really makes Christmas the most fun, at least for me. New Year's, barely made midnight on New Year's. Getting old, people, getting old. Watched some TV with the better half. Did some gaming, believe it or not. Age of Empires, baby. Still one of the greatest, funnest games for me there is. And, of course, watching some sports. What else is a guy to do? Didn't hear too much from the extended family this year, but, life goes on. And it is what it is, and it's all good. So that got me to now. The better half is back at work today. So we're back today. It's the first day of the routine, the old routine. Making the long, hard, grueling pull towards springtime, because that's about all there is to look forward to once Christmas and New Year's goes by. That being said, let's move over to the world of, what should we do, basketball, hockey? Hockey, basketball, which one? That will do both. All right, NBA. What's going on in the NBA? Well, Donovan Mitchell dropped 71. Well, that's a game for the career, eh? 71 against the Chicago Bulls, crushing the former franchise record of 57 points set by LeBron James back in 2017. You got that 71, only getting 21 of those from three-point range, which is kind of surprising. Basketball, any comments, any queries about whether this sport, liking basketball is all well and good, but boy, it is just points, 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 and no defense.
Has the game just changed that much when I wasn't paying attention? Probably. I mean, I routinely go to the scoreboard, and very rarely do you see a team under 100 points anymore. Monday, for instance, Monday, there was 11 games. So that's 22 teams. Only one of them scored under 100 points. Some of these games are, you know, teams are routinely get, you know, okay, that was an overtime game, 143, 141, but we got like 135, 106, 139, 122 to 114. Like there is a, I mean, there is a lot of scoring. Now, I guess from a fan's perspective, that for most people, that's probably more enjoyable than defense. But boy, I'd like to see some teams try to lock down some guys instead of just the three-point circus that I usually see. That being said, NBA, Boston Celtics leading the way. The Nets, 25-12. How about that? My poor Toronto Raptors are not looking good. In the midst of a bit of a slump, and can't win on the road. You know, 5 wins on the road and 18 tries, not going to get it done. Over in the West, the Denver Nuggets, 24-13. I mean, we're still early. I mean, we're 37. We're not even halfway through the season yet. A lot could change. Denver Nuggets, Memphis Grizzlies, New Orleans Pelicans. That's the top three in the West. The Warriors are in ninth, and the Lakers are 5 games under 500. And the worst team in the league, Houston Rockets, Detroit Pistons. The once mighty Detroit Pistons. Oh, basketball, what happened to you? I do not know. Yesterday in the world of the NHL. Winter Classic outside in the great city of Boston at Fenway. The Bruins pull out a 2-1 win over the Pittsburgh Penguins. Winter Classic and outdoor games. Cool. Except for the actual game, where they're very low-scoring affairs because the ice, despite the best efforts of professional ice makers, it just isn't what you get inside. I know that seems kind of strange, but it's still true. And the guys are a little careful. There's usually not very much hitting, and it does. You would think that would lead to a more goals, but the ice is, I mean, for regular people probably wouldn't notice, but anybody who's played a lot of hockey or high level hockey would notice immediately the quality of the ice is not what those guys are used to. Pucks bouncing around, hard to keep your edges, etc. But still, I mean, great for it's a great PR kind of a thing because you know, you can get 60,000 people there, etc. And it really, again, it works very good on the media side of things. Visually, it's quite a spectacle. That being said, not the greatest game. But I'm sure if you were a Boston Bruin or Pittsburgh Penguin fan and you got tickets and got to go see that thing, it would have been spectacular. Other news in the NHL. Well, we're just shy of the halfway point. The Boston Bruins leading the league. Haven't lost a game at home yet. In 22 tries. That's almost unheard of in the sport of hockey. Just can't seem to do anything wrong and are keeping the puck out of their net. 37 games and only 83 goals against. That's not even, you know, 2 point something, which is unheard of. Now, that could come crashing down in the second half of the season. You never know, but still, for my Canadian listeners, the Maple Leafs are fourth overall in the league. The Jets of Winnipeg in ninth. Then it starts to get a little bit. Calgary in 15th. Edmonton in 17th, but not in a playoff spot at this moment. The Ottawa Senators in 21st. The Canucks are in 25th. And the lowly Montreal Canadiens, a once proud franchise in Montreal, now in 27th position. Have not won in their last five. And, boy, we're just hammered the last two nights out, 9-2 and 7-2. Now, granted, Montreal doesn't have the greatest team in the rebuild, but that's still pretty painful if you are a Montreal Canadian fan. So let's go back to the NFL now that the dust is starting to settle from the DeMar Hamlin incident. That one, I don't know what you want to call it. Latest reports, and even in the last 25 minutes, are that he is still in remains in critical condition. I still haven't really heard any news for. Oh, okay. Well, here we go. So this looks like what they're going to do. Monday Night Football. Okay, now they're talking about. I really want to know what they're going to do, and I don't think they got a whole lot of time to be debating this. So we'll see. On to the. This Sunday's games, or I guess, are they going to play on Saturday? Saturday, that's right. We got three games on Saturday. We've got the Chiefs at the Raiders, Ravens at the Bengals, and Titans at the Jags. Now, a lot of playoff implications. Chiefs gunning for first spot, same for the Bengals there. Sunday, the Patriots are supposed to play Buffalo in Buffalo. I got to wonder what's going to happen to that game. Giants-Eagles, huge game. Especially if the Giants could beat the Eagles somehow. I don't think they're going to, but maybe. We're going to the Cowboys win. I don't know what that does. I think that ties them. I'm not sure who has the tiebreaker. There's a lot of crazy stuff. I'm down to the wire in the NFL. Let's put it that way. In the AFC, Buffalo has clinched the division. The Chargers are in. Don't know where yet, but in. In the North, Cincinnati and Baltimore are in. But because the Cincinnati game never hasn't happened yet, they need a win to clinch. And if they were to lose both their games and Baltimore won both of theirs, I believe we're looking at a tie. So that's still up in the air. Pittsburgh, still up in the air. Cleveland still hasn't been officially eliminated, I believe. Actually, I think they have been. In the South, Jacksonville, 8-8. They play Tennessee, I believe, and the winner of that is going to win the division. And the loser may not even get into the playoffs. In the NFC, we've got the Eagles, Cowboys, and Giants are all in, but we don't know where yet. San Francisco has clinched the division in the West. Seattle, I think, is still up in the air. And the Vikings have clinched the North, but we've got the Lions and the Packers are still in the hunt, both at 8-8. And the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have won the South with an 8-8 record. They can't be caught, so they're in. And I don't think anybody else from the South, I think those teams are all done, the Saints, Panthers, and Falcons. So big, big weekend coming up, and then throwing in this uncertainty about how they're going to play this game. There's a lot up in the air, boy, a lot up in the air. So let's take a quick break and we'll come back and have a look at that in a moment. And we're back now. Breaking news a little bit. Still not confirmed, but this is the story as of this moment. Two possibilities being entertained, according to insiders. The first is that they'll just move everything back a week. This game will be played next Monday, and the season will be pushed back a week, except for the Super Bowl, because, of course, they don't want to change that. Apparently, this was done and or considered back in 2001, back after 9/11. The other possibility, and I think this one makes a little more sense to me, they'll cancel the game and determine playoff seeding in the AFC by winning percentage. That was also apparently one of the plans for 2020 during the pandemic. So we'll see. That makes sense to me. Then they don't have to reschedule that game at all. And that gives everybody the week to figure things out. So still no official word, but that is the story as of right now. So looking at the playoffs, if they were to end right now, the byes would go to Kansas City in the AFC and to Philadelphia in the NFC. And the wild card games would be the Patriots at Buffalo, Baltimore at Cincinnati, and the Chargers at Jacksonville. And in the NFC, it would be the Seahawks in San Francisco, the Giants in Minnesota, and Dallas in Tampa Bay. Now, the reason you see all that being what it is and why that makes some of these games interesting. Cincinnati, Buffalo. Buffalo's 12-3. Cincinnati's 11-4. So the winner of that game would either have tied or finished off Cincinnati's chances of getting any higher. For Buffalo, they also could have been tied with Kansas City. So that game, like, they're really going to have to sit down and figure out what the hell they're going to do with that, and I don't know. Pittsburgh at 8-8 is on the Jacksonville game, and Tennessee at 7-9, still on the fence, as I said earlier. I'm trying to find a scenario kind of thing here, and tiebreakers and all that, but the Hamlin story has kind of taken over the sports at this moment, understandably so. Okay, so in the AFC, the Dolphins are at 8-8. They would, if they were to get another win, they would, and the Patriots were to lose, they'd get in. The Patriots are 8-8. They have the tiebreaker over Pittsburgh. So they need to lose, and the Steelers need to win for the Steelers to get in. And Miami also needs to lose. The Jets, I don't believe, can get in. They're out. Tennessee's at 7-9. They need a win and everybody else to lose, and then I think they can still get in. In the NFC, it's just pretty cut and dried. We've really only got the seventh spot is available. You got Seattle at 8-8, Detroit at 8-8, and the Packers at 8-8. Everybody else is eliminated. Seattle's got the tiebreaker over Detroit, and over Green Bay. So all Seattle's got to do is win, and they're in. The Lions have got the tiebreaker over Detroit. So they, if they win and the Seahawks lose, they're in, as I understand it. And for the Packers to win, to get in, they need to win, and the other two teams need to lose, which is probably not likely. So that's going to make for an interesting week end of football. And I'd like to take this moment to say sorry to our good friend Ed Bogus and our other good friend Nick Hoff. I'm so sorry about the Bears and the Rams. The Bears, I don't know. What do you do if you own the Chicago Bears? What do you do? 3-13 this year. Seem to have some issue at the quarterback position. The year started off pretty good. Beat San Francisco, beat Houston, lost to Green Bay, but they were 2-1. And then the wheels fell off. They fell off 9 losses in a row. Couple of real heartbreakers in there. Miami, Detroit, Atlanta, all by 2 by 3 points, 1 by 1 point. To be a Bears fan, it's got to be tough. I don't know how you do it, Ed. Especially after that tease of preseason, 3-0 in the preseason. Then get into the regular season and get hammered. Ugh, got to be tough to cheer for the Bears. The Rams, on the other hand, I suppose they can blame part of theirs on injuries, part of theirs on Super Bowl hangover. But I believe I read that that is the record for the worst record after winning a Super Bowl. They've only had 5 wins this year. They've lost 7 of their last 9, 8 of their last 10, if you want to look at it that way. Now, granted, they've had some pretty big injuries. But that's going to be a test for them coming up next season. Because, boy, I guess not too much room to not be better, I guess, you know. You're only 5-5 wins on the season. It's not too tough to improve, but again, ask the Bears, I suppose. Been a year in the NFL, and my Cowboys, again, flirting with being good, but then not really being that good despite the record. I think we're going to see an AFC Super Bowl champion unless the Eagles really get it together. And by that, I mean they're going to have to run the table. I guess they're going to have to run the table to get to the Super Bowl anyway, but you know what I mean. They look good, but I don't know if they're good enough to beat the Buffaloes and Kansas Cities of the league. We'll see. And I guess that's pretty much going to wrap it up for me for this fine, fine January 3rd morning. I guess it's not morning anymore. It's noon here, so 2 p.m. for the Eastern Standard Time listeners, and anybody overseas even later. So things to look forward to this week. Thursday night football. Pretty hard to look forward. Thursday night football has been a bit of a dog this year. But, and I guess there isn't any Thursday night football, is there? Are we done with Thursday night football? Is there a Thursday night game in the last week of the season? There isn't, because they go to Saturday. So Saturday football. Chiefs at Raiders. Chiefs need a win, lock everything up. Tennessee at Jacksonville. That's the game. Winners in, losers out. Or wins the division. So that's a biggie. Sunday, Cincinnati. That game is apparently still up in the air, depending on what they're going to do with the Cincinnati-Buffalo game, according to my ESPN, and more, I guess, to the point if anything happens to Mr. Hamlin. Patriots at Buffalo, big playoff implications there. Pittsburgh needs a win and a little bit of help. The Giants and the Eagles, seedings involved there. Dallas and Washington, Cowboys need a win. Philadelphia loss, and I think even then, I'm not sure if they can win the division or not. Maybe, not sure. But still, big games worth watching. And Sunday night game is Detroit at Green Bay. So depending on what happens in the earlier game, if Green Bay beats Detroit, they might get into the playoffs. How about that? After their horrible season where they have not really been that good. And, of course, on Monday, the college football championship game. And then the sledding gets a little lighter as there isn't quite as many, that's going to wild card weekend and all that, but that's a little different. You can really key in on the games you care about, or all of them if you're like me. Anyway, folks, I'm starting to ramble. After a half hour, that's what happens, especially without anybody else here to bounce the ideas off of. Jeff is out in the wind at this point. Work is just killing him, so decisions are going to have to be made here pretty soon about the direction of Wide Men Can't Jump. But we shall return after the last week here of the NFL season to talk playoffs and implications and all the rest. And until then, how does the stunning ending of Stampede Wrestling in the meantime and the in-between time? That's it. Another edition of Wide Men Can't Jump.